The Hebrew scriptures in Genesis chapter 47, where Jacob the wanderer meets Pharaoh for the first time. Jacob was the patriarch of a nomadic people who, from time to time, as they wandered around the Middle East, created stacks of stones to mark their encounters with the divine. Pharaoh, who considered himself divine, was the ruler of the people of the Nile River, builder of pyramids, huge stacks of hewn stones. Quite a contrast. These characters represent very different ways of life. Pharaoh represented a very settled worldview, and Jacob, the tradition of a wandering people. Joseph brings his father Jacob in front of Pharaoh, and the first thing that Jacob does is to bless Pharaoh. Would have liked to have been there to see this God ruler and this wandering shepherd have that encounter together. Then Pharaoh asks Jacob, "How old are you?" It's the first thing he asks him in the story. Why would he ask him that? He must have looked really old, I think. And that's why Pharaoh kind of marveled at him. As you know, the Egyptians, longevity was highly valued. They even mummified remains and buried them with supplies and things so that that journey in the afterlife could be pleasant. And Jacob's reply to the Pharaoh's question, "How old are you?" reveals the soul of a confident wanderer. "The years of my earthly sojourn are 130. Few and hard have been the years of my life. They do not compare with the years of the life of my ancestors during their long sojourn." And then Jacob blesses the Pharaoh again, and he turns around and he walks out. You just don't do that to the ruler of Egypt, to a Pharaoh who thinks of himself as a god. But that's what Jacob did. Jacob's words describing himself and his ancestors as a people on a journey portray a faith tradition that captures an essential aspect of being human. We like to move around, and we've been doing it for hundreds of thousands of years for one reason or another, usually to find food or a better place to escape danger. This summer, I was struck by how many wanderers we had in this congregation. Folks went north and south and east and west. There was travel across rivers and oceans and mountains. There was travel by car, by bicycle, canoe, bus, train, and who knows what other mode of transportation. Maybe we should have an evening of storytelling about our travels. Those of us who like to stay put could learn a bit from the experiences of our more adventurous sisters and brothers in the congregation. I'm glad we pray for each other as we travel. Prayer gives us a common touchstone. Seeking God's presence and blessing keeps us bound together. Psalm 33 is a song of ancient Israel that celebrates the steadfast love of God. The language of this reading portrays God as seated on a throne looking down on humankind. It is an important way of imagining God, God the one who is totally free of the world and yet paying close attention to the world. The entire psalm is an expression of confidence in the steadfast rule of God. The psalm closes with an assertion of trust and faith. "Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield." When we gather as God's people, we sing, we pray, we turn toward that which is eternal. We reach out for God's steadfast love. Our minds and our hearts are stirred by songs and scriptures and stories of God's faithfulness. Sometimes we simply quiet ourselves for a time to listen for God's silence. We turn toward that which endures beyond our wandering, toward that which sustains us when the journey is very difficult. And I hope The presence of God touches you today as you gather in this assembly. The journey motif comes through our scripture readings. We encounter childless Sarah and Abram, who at God's beckoning and God's promise to make them a great tribe, left their established homeland and wandered in the Middle East searching for that promise. And it's not easy being a nomad. In Genesis 15, Abram has been through a rough patch. The neighboring tribes have been raiding his people. He had to rescue his nephew Lot, his closest living relative, from these raiders. It was a dangerous operation, and Abram could have been killed. And I think after that operation, Abram needs assurance and needs a word from the Lord. He had a vision of God telling him not to be afraid, and Abram then expresses his deepest fear to God that he and Sarah might not ever have children. God told him not to worry. His descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And he took Abram outside and had him look at the heavens at night. Faith is a journey with present realities and a future hope. And maybe a question this morning would be, what are your present realities? Another question might be, what is your hope? If life is good, we probably want it to stay that way. Don't want to entertain much change. If the journey is difficult, we probably hope for something better, something different. If we take time to reflect, we can come to know what is the settled part of our journey, and we can know what our soul longs for as we seek a better place. Even if we stay in one place, God calls us to leave the familiar and move on to new horizons. That's the way the human journey is. Each stage of our life has its own dynamics to it. And the next journey, part of the journey, calls to us, and we find it difficult to let go sometimes. What is your soul waiting for at this stage of your life? What is the next thing that calls to you? Hebrews 11 offers Sarah and Abraham as examples of faith and offers a definition of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Another translation renders it, faith gives substance to our hopes and convinces us of realities we do not see. These are present and future dimensions to our faith. The future reality we hear God calling us to is the reality we attempt to live in the present. If we understand that the way of Jesus to be our paradigm and our calling, then we strive to respond to that calling and that way of life in the here and now. We reach out to our neighbor. We reach out in healing ways. We practice peace. We speak words of love. We incorporate Jesus' values into our everyday actions. We strive for the love of God. We strive for the love of neighbor. And we hope that our striving will lead toward the city of God and our homeland and the homeland that humanity is meant to dwell in. We know that we are not there yet, but we press on toward that high calling. We are confident wanderers. We touch the bread and cup and find nourishment for our souls as we share communion today. We gather around the Lord's table and we remember that we are called to faith in a great mystery and to a lifting of all of humankind. We gather around tables of fellowship and lift each other up as we continue our journey of faith and life. And I pray that this day, that your faith will be strengthened, that you will be strong in your present reality and reach out and grab for that future hope that you long for. Amen.